I need all the help I can get. Amen. Brother Boone, he'll tease me. And of course, you know, I don't have to talk too long. You know, I'm from Southwest Virginia. And the first time I was ever up here, I said I was from Mud Holler, Virginia. And I'll never forget, some lady came to me after the service, and she said, "Where's Mud Holler, Virginia?" That's just what we call it, amen. Those that would say it proper would say Mud Hollow, amen. We add an ER to everything, but we're just so thankful. And I don't take it lightly to get to be here tonight. I do love your pastor. I love his family, Sister Sherry, and this church. You've been a blessing. You've always made us feel welcome, and that's what it's all about, in coming together and lifting up our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it's all about tonight. There's nothing in us, but it's the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. And thank you, Brother Boone, for all that y'all have done for us. And appreciate my family and my pastor. I was glad to get to hear Brother Les. He was my pastor ever before I was ever even being considered for a son-in-law. I used to work with him on the cookie truck, amen, and when I was 15 years old. But he's been a blessing, him, Sister Lois, to me, and I like to support them, and they are always, this coming August, I'll be in their family 20 years, amen. It's been a blessing to me, amen, it certainly has. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jude, a little book of Jude. And I told Brother Les that I was between two messages, but y'all, last night I would have told you I was preaching on something else, but this morning the Lord led me over to the book of Jude as I got up there early in the hotel there and just trying to seek the Lord's will. But, you know, I'm thankful for the good report that we've heard and a good message last night and from these men, but I want to be an encouragement to you tonight. Realizing as a pastor, realizing when there is an effort for revival, there is a lot of sickness, there is a lot of times distraction. But you know, I'm thankful for you that you keep going forward, amen. And that's what it's about, doing the Lord's work and for His glory. And that's what it's about tonight. But I want, if you found your place in the book of Jude, if you would stand respect and honor to God's word tonight. I want to start reading here in verse number 3 is where we're going to take our thought. Jude, verse 3. The Bible, excuse me. The Bible said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye shall earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." I want to bring your attention tonight where Jude, where he pens, he says there in the middle part of the verse, he said, "And exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith." And here's the message the Lord laid on our heart this morning, some reasons for contending for the faith. Amen. Some reasons for contending for the faith. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name. And Father, we're just so thankful for the Spirit of the Lord we've already felt tonight. Father, we do thank you for Pastor Boone, Sister Sherry, God, and the church family, the flock you've entrusted them with here. And Father, we are praying tonight. Lord, we realize in ourselves we're nothing. We realize tonight, Lord, unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down, Father, all's in vain. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord, we're not looking for a big cloud, but we're looking for a little cloud, like into a man's hand. Lord, that spiritual rain, Father, we just need it. Father, we need it in this day. We need, Lord, that spiritual rain. And Father, we pray that you'll rid lukewarmness from our lives. Father, clear our minds and our hearts tonight. And Father, if there's somebody here that's lost, dear God, I pray the Holy Spirit of God will draw them tonight, show them their need of a Savior, Father, and let them realize tonight that Jesus loves them, Father, and He paid their sin debt on Calvary's cross. And Father, we love you. Lord, we're looking to see what you're going to do for us tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated tonight. I want you to notice what Jude writes here in the latter part of verse number 3. He said, "And exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." I want to preach on this thought, some reasons for contending for the faith. And Jude said here that ye, Jude is writing, if you'll notice there in verse number 1, he is writing to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Aren't you glad tonight if you're born again that you're sanctified, that you're set apart? Amen. Amen. And then the Bible goes on to say there as he's writing to those not only that are sanctified, but the Bible said that he's writing to those that are preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And listen, when I think about what the Lord has done for me, I'm glad not only am I sanctified, but I'm glad tonight that I'm preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And listen, you can see who Jude is writing to here, those that are preserved and called by God in Jesus Christ. Jude said that ye should earnestly contend for. Got thinking about that phrase, to earnestly contend for. Listen, in verse 3, simply means to struggle for. That ye should earnestly contend for, or to struggle for the faith. And the faith here meaning the gospel. That ye should earnestly contend for, that you should struggle for the faith, or the gospel, or the assurance, or the belief, or believe, or simply reliance upon Christ for salvation. I don't know how it is here in Buchanan. Listen, but I'm going to tell you something right there in Bristol. And I like to listen to gospel radio, amen, where they preach about Jesus and where they sing about Jesus. But sometimes you turn on the radio and there's some men, as long as they stay in the Word of God, I'll listen to them. But listen, it's not too long. They'll get off on something else and then I'll just turn them off. Amen. But let me say this tonight. Listen, it's Jesus Christ and Him only. Amen. It don't matter if you're a Baptist, listen, a Presbyterian or a Methodist. Listen, friend, you know who's going to get into heaven? It's those who have been blood washed. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm glad I'm going to heaven tonight, not because of the Baptist, but hallelujah, I'm going to heaven because I had faith in a risen Savior. Amen. 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 He's writing to those that are preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said to earnestly contend for, or to struggle for the faith, the gospel, or reliance upon Christ for salvation. As old preachers used to say, Christ plus nothing, Christ minus nothing. Amen. We've got the truth tonight, but Jude was saying to the believers that we should struggle for the gospel, or we should struggle for the truth. And listen, I realize in life there's times of trouble. Amen. I realize in life there's times of discouragement. And I'm not making light of that tonight. There's a time to mourn. I realize that. But listen, there's many believers today that walk around defeated. But listen tonight, aren't you glad if you have that old King James Bible, aren't you glad you got the truth tonight? And listen, friend, listen, when God entrusted me to preach the gospel, amen, and listen, to raise those four youngins, listen, I want to guard the gate, hallelujah, and I want to preach to them, listen, what the Lord says in His Word, and listen, friend, that is to earnestly contend or to struggle for the faith or the good news, amen, the truth of God's Word, amen, amen, to protect that. So listen, you know, as you study the Word of God, you know in this letter, the apostasy of the professing church is predicted. Jude was encouraging believers to earnestly contend for the faith. And these apostates, these false teachers, these unbelievers, you can find there in verse 19, the Bible said, "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not of the Spirit." These false teachers coming into the church, they look like you, they look like me, but they have not the Spirit. And listen, friend, today we've got to guard the church. Amen. We have to guard. Your preacher has to guard this pulpit. Amen. And listen, friend, today, you say, "Preacher, when someone comes in to Beulah, do you just immediately put them in a position?" No. I watch them. Amen. I want to know what they believe. Why? Because there's young'uns. Listen, my young'uns are going to be sitting under those teachers. Listen, friend, I want to know that they believe the Word of God and they rightly divide the Word of God. You see, these apostates, as the Bible said there in verse number 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." You say, "Preacher, are you once saved, always saved?" That's exactly what I preach. Amen. But listen, a lot of those preachers will say, "We preach it gives you a license to sin." That's not what I preach. I believe when you get born again, when you truly get born again, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And thank God when He sets up a abode in your heart, those things you used to want to do, you don't want to do anymore. Amen. On the inside. Amen. So yes, praise God. Amen. Yes, we're saved. But listen, friend, it don't give you a license to sin. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, we're going to sin. The Bible, listen, "For all sin comes short of the glory of God." He saved us, but in this flesh is not saved. And listen, friend, we're going to sin, but you're not going to go out and habitually sin. That's right. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches us. So listen, friend, we've got to be aware of those and guard the church. And listen, friend, as I thought of some reasons for contending for the faith, and I don't know anybody in here tonight that don't need encouragement. Huh? Hey, man, nobody wants to be around somebody that's bitter all the time. Amen? And listen, if you're bitter all the time, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Bible says you be not drunk with the wine where it's in excess, but be you filled with the Spirit of God. And when you get filled with the Spirit of God, there'll be joy down deep in your soul. Amen. There'll be joy there. You see, I've been around some folk in church. Amen. When they get done talking, I'm ready to jump. Amen. Amen. But listen, friend, and I, no matter what you go through in this life, it is worth keep marching on for the cause of Christ. Amen. To contending for the truth. So I want to give you some things tonight, and I'll just follow the Lord. And when we get done, amen, listen, we'll be done when the Lord lets us. And hey, I'm not, that scares everybody when you say that. Amen. Amen. But listen, friend, we're here to get help tonight. That you should earnestly contend for the faith. Why should we earnestly contend for the faith? Number one, it just makes sense in this confused world. I don't know about you, but we're living in a confused world. Listen, friend, today, my friend, when I was growing up, even though I was bashful, Brother Boone, nobody had to tell me to look at a pretty girl. Listen, friend, them little girls would blink their eyes at you. They'd smile at you, and I'd about run under some, but I thought they were pretty. Amen. That's what we call them, pretty. Amen. And listen, today we got folk, listen, they don't identify as being a male or don't identify being a female. Listen, God made man. He made a man and He made a woman, and God ordained one man and one woman. Amen. Amen. We're living in a confused world today. Amen. Amen. But aren't you glad that we don't have to go and hide our head in the sand? We've got the truth of God's Word, and we can earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. Amen. We can earnestly do that. Confusion. Amen. When all that transgender mess come out, I told them down there at the church, amen, listen, friend, we're not going to put, we're going to keep a man and a woman on the bathroom. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, friend, the Word of God, and listen to me today. I'm glad that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And listen, friend, I pray for the homosexuals. They need the Lord Jesus just like I needed the Lord Jesus. But it's confusion. They wasn't born like that. Let me tell you something. That is lust, and they're enslaved in sin, amen,
amen,
to their flesh. I'm going to tell you something. We got to get back to the Word of God. I tell you, political correctness has ruined us in our homes. It's ruined us in our churches. A lot of good men. It's muzzled a lot of good men. But God taught us to preach the Word and the whole counsel of the Word to earnestly contend for the faith. No, we don't hate homosexuals. We love them. But they need Jesus Christ. They need the Lord. Amen. That old harlot out there, we don't need to look down on them. Hey, we need to pray for them. That old drunkard out there, hey, listen, I'm glad. If it wasn't for the grace of God tonight, I'd be in a devil's hell. But praise be unto God, His grace and His mercy. When justice called, mercy answered. He saved my unworthy soul. Amen. And listen, I'd be in the same place tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God. It's a confused world. Now, you're here on a Friday night. Amen. Brother Boone said last night, we know what a lot of us used to do on Friday nights, and it wasn't in church. Amen. But why should we earnestly contend for the faith? It just makes sense in this confused world. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul writing, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You see, what we're doing here tonight is to this world. It's foolishness. They don't understand why a preacher gets a burden on his heart and listen, sets up a meeting and listen, friend, folk come Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Why are they there at church? Listen, it's foolishness to the world to do those things. You see, it's foolishness to the world to get up early in the morning and study your Bibles. It's foolishness to the world to get along with God and to pray. It's foolishness to the world. I listen, for you Sunday school teachers, to be faithful to the church and listen to study your lessons and come and teach out of a heart of love. That's foolishness to the world. Listen, whether you realize it or not tonight, you are a testimony to those that live around you. Listen, every time you get in that car, listen, for Sunday school, you start it up, your neighbors, they realize, there Brother Boone goes again, he's going to church. Amen? And here's the thing. Listen, a lot of folk may not understand it. They're confused. The Bible said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. To stand and preach out of a heart of love. Listen, a lot of folk today, a lot of folk, they want you to come. And listen, there's a lot of places today, my friend, where folk, they want to go to church. But listen, friend, today, my friend, they don't want to hear the real preached word of God. Because one thing I realize, my friend, listen, in a lot of churches today, how many of you realize today, you can say God hates sin and it don't bother anybody. Huh? But when you start, my friend, when you start revealing what sin is, I'm glad there's some people that earnestly contended for the faith. I'm glad there were people, men of God, that stood and let me know what sin is. Because I'm going to tell you something, if they don't hear it in the home, if they don't hear it in the church, the world's certainly not going to tell them about it. Just makes sense in a confused world to come to Sunday school, to come to Sunday morning worship, to come to Sunday night services, and to come to Wednesday night services. That's not only confusion to the world. There's a lot of church members that never have got a hold of that. And I say that out of love tonight. Because one thing that I told Beulah, I said, if God, listen, if He can work in my heart, listen, for me to be faithful to God's house and the things of God, He can work in anybody else's heart. Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, your pastor needs you here as much as you could be. Listen, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And it could just be any day. And listen, friend, today, I think that's all we ought to live our life. Get up each day and tilt our heads towards the sky, Brother Boone. Are you coming back today? Occupy yourself till He comes. Listen, Jesus coming back, and I'm looking forward to seeing Him. Amen. People just don't understand that. They don't understand this foolishness to them. But listen, friend, today to the world, it's foolishness to start a visitation program. You know, I've learned as a pastor, and I've got a lot to learn. There's one thing that I love, and that's to see somebody get saved by the grace of God. There was this gentleman. Boy, it's one of the hardest cases I'd ever witnessed to. I went and visited him in the hospital, and it'd been several years ago. Went in the hospital room, and when he saw me, he said, "Preacher." And he said, "The church would fall in if I come over there." I said, "Brother, it didn't when I came in there." Amen. "It won't fall in for you." And anyway, I walked out of there. I went home. I told Amanda, I said, "I'm going to have to befriend him. He's going to have to be able to trust me." So every time that I would see him, would be in the hospital. I had real bad problems with breathing. And I'd go, every time he was in there, I'd go by and I'd see him. Just real cold. Towards the things of God. And one day, several years ago, he looked at me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "if I ever decide to get saved," he said, "you'll be the preacher I call." I want you to listen to this tonight. Year after year, I'd go see him two or three times a year in the hospital. Sometimes I didn't think he was going to make it out of the hospital. People would witness to him. I'd be in there and see other people witnessing to him. Nothing. Every time I went to see him, I wouldn't talk to him about the Lord. I just didn't. Every time, sometimes I'd talk to him about the garden. Things that interest him. Unless the Lord opened it up. And one time, in the hospital, he said, "I'm going to come over there to the church." And he got to come one time in the new building. They rolled him in a wheelchair, and God got in the service that day. And he sat over there and he cried like a baby. Right up in the front. Didn't see him again for a good while. One Saturday morning, I was getting ready to go to the baseball field. And I told Amanda, I said, "I feel led. I need to go up to the hospital to see Wes." Went in there just like I always did. And I walked in, I started talking to him about his yard and things like that. I said, "Wes, can I pray with you?" He said, "Yes." Prayed with him. I hugged his neck. Went and hugged his wife. Before I was leaving, the Lord spoke to my heart, and this is all I said to him. I turned to him and I said, "Wes," I held up my cell phone. I said, "I'm still waiting on that call." And he said, "Preacher, I was going to call you the other night." He said, "But I was afraid I'd bother you." I said, "Wes, do you know how many times You know how many times that I've went home and I've turned my volume up on my phone and I've laid it beside my bed and I prayed for you. Just praying that you'd call me. You tell me he'd read the Bible, Brother Boone. And he said, how can a man in my shape be baptized? I said, it's not about being baptized. I took him over there at the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I said, have you ever, because he was always telling me, I read the Bible. I said, have you ever read about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? He said, I think I may have. I said, well, let me tell you about him. And I shared the word of God about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, understandest thou what thou readest? How can I unless a man show me? What did he do? He believed. And then he followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And then he would ask me something else and something else. And God, the Holy Spirit, would just give me the answers. And he was a smart man. He would sit there and he'd ponder on what you'd say. He'd look at you. He'd stare a hole through you. He was confused. You know what? I didn't do anything great. I just shared the Word of God. Because you know when somebody's confused, you know what the Word of God is? It's true.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And finally, after I'd answer his questions, he looked at me. Still see. He's in glory now. I got to preach his funeral. He reached over Brother Daniel and he pushed that old hospital tray aside. He said, preacher, now I'm ready to let you help me. Woo! Amen! Amen! That's answered prayer. Hallelujah! Amen. This thing is, hey, listen, friend, we're the winners. Amen! We're not the losers. Amen! Listen, we're the winners. We got the truth. I knelt down there in that old hospital floor. What'd you share with him, preacher? Good news. Hey, the best news an old country boy ever heard. Listen, that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Amen. He loved me. He loved Wes. And he paid Wes's sin debt. I shared the Word of God how, hey, you're a sinner. He realized he was a sinner. He realized that Jesus was God's only begotten Son, one of a kind Son. And that He shed His life's blood, Brother Mason, on Calvary's cross for every one of us in here. And they took my Lord. They wrapped him. And they put him in a borrowed tomb. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter. Everybody talks about the birth. I'm glad for the resurrection. Amen. Amen. And they placed our Savior in a borrowed tomb. The world said, do you remember what that deceiver said? Called Jesus a deceiver. That on 3 days he's going to rise again. They put the stone in front, put that guard there. But through the eyes of faith, I like to, as I read the Word of God, I can see those ladies making their way to that tomb that morning. Early that morning, they expected the Lord to be there, I believe. But you know what? When they got there, you know what they found? They found that stone rolled away. Hey, I know whom you seek. You seek Jesus. He is not here, for he is risen just as he said. That's mine and your hope today. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't serve a dead God. Amen. They sing that song. I passed by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones, and Mount Muhammad. But hallelujah, Jesus Christ came out of the grave. Listen, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. That's pretty good news. You said you've been over there and looked into it? Not physically. But I have through the eyes of faith, amen. And I told Wes, I shared the gospel with him. Prayed with, he got saved. You know, his son-in-law, or his stepson, I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord. He's out of the church. He surrendered to preach. Now he's a missionary. Brother Danny, I think he's been here. I thought, I'm not even going to tell him. Because how many in here know if you get born again, you'll confess him before man?
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going to see if he really got it. I didn't say anything to Brother Denny. I went home. Brother Denny said, first thing that happened, this man that had shunned many a preacher, you know what he said when he come in? He said, I just got saved. Amen. I'm going to say that's a pretty good sign. Amen. And I'd visit him a little while after that, and we got these DVDs that you could see the service, and Sister Brenda would, I got to lead her to the Lord, his wife. And she'd take them DVDs home of the services, and I'd walk in there, and you just got to know him. He was just kind of, I mean, he's straight to the point. He said, preacher, he said, I've been watching some reruns of you. Message, he wasn't able to go to church. I said, brother, ain't nothing worse than a rerun of a Baptist preacher. But listen to this. This guy's 70-some years old. He said, I don't know. You're the only one I've ever listened to. 70-some years old. I'm here to tell you something tonight. No matter where you're at today, you might be here tonight and you come in this building confused. But let me say something to you. You know why I keep coming from year to year, and it's all about His grace and by His grace. You know why I still try to spit and slobber and try to preach God's Word? Because there was men before me that preached. There was men before me that stood and preached the Word of God. And one day I heard the gospel like I'd never heard it. The Holy Ghost of God come to where I was sitting. I realized I was lost and undone. And listen, I could have sit there, my friend, and listen to those lies of Satan. Amen. Listen, you can put it off. What about tomorrow? The Bible said today's the day. Now's the accepted time. Amen. Don't put it off. There's an old song said, I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I put off the old coat and I put on the new. This coat, it fits me. It keeps me so warm. It's good in the winter. It's good in the storm. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. I'll tell you, it was a time I was lost and undone on my way to hell. But aren't you glad for that imputed righteousness, my friend? Listen, it wasn't our goodness. Listen, the Bible said, but God commendeth His love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's meaning. He knows everything about you tonight. He knows where you've been. He knows why you're here tonight. And listen, Jesus Christ, He loves loves you so much that he shed his life's blood, that holy blood, to wash your sins. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like Clemson, they shall be as wool. You said, explain it, preacher. I don't know how to explain it. Besides, I believe it. Listen, friend, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I was an old dirty sinner. But praise God, when I, by grace through faith, put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, I come up from there and I was as white as snow on the inside. Amen. I used to go home at night and I'd worry because I knew you're looking at a boy. You're looking at a boy right here that ever since I was born, I was going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, whether I wanted to go or not. And I thank God for that today. Didn't really like it back then, but I am today. I like it today. I've shared my testimony here before. But I grew up in church. I knew about the gospel. I knew about heaven. I knew about hell. And I believed in heaven. I believed in hell. And you know how, and I'm not listening to me tonight. I never try to confuse anybody. I want you to know that you're saved. That's a personal decision. But I'm just giving you my testimony tonight. I was in the church all my life, made a couple professions. I believe you get saved one time. I remember going in my dad and mom's room when I was little, and then a couple professions. I wasn't putting on the front when I was trying to serve God and teaching Sunday school, and I did what I thought I was supposed to do. I went up, I followed the Lord in believers' baptism by immersion, and you know, for obedience to the Lord, the testimony. There'd be times I'd peel in my head at night. I just didn't have that peace down in my soul. One Wednesday night, Brother Les asked a question. He said, "How long have you been saved?" Remember that, Brother Les, you asked, you said, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, people raising their hand. God used that little question right there. How long have you been saved? It's simple. Holy Ghost of God said, "When did you get saved?" I couldn't raise my hand. I mean, I'm talking about a Sunday school superintendent, a Sunday school teacher. Went home that night. Lord's mercy allowed me to be back that Sunday morning, Sunday night. I went outside. Standing there, and this missionary stuck his head out that side door, and he said, "We're still having church in here." So naturally, I walked back in wanting to see what was going on. And much to my surprise, there were church members getting saved in there. Les's hunting buddy, the treasurer, was getting saved. And I see it, and if you go into Central there and you go up to the front, and I was able to be there in revival with him the other night, and I got on the altar with my wife, and I just thank God for saving me. Amen. But I was sitting about three rows back. And the Holy Ghost of God, He was drawing and He was dealing with my heart. Boy, you know how Satan does. I was sitting there and I was thinking, boy, my heart, it's not about feelings, it's about faith, but it's about the Lord dealing with your heart. Amen, you realizing your sin. And I was sitting there and I'll never forget. All these things were going through my mind. What will people think? Different things. You've got more time. And God was dealing with me such a way like He never dealt with me. I realized that I was a lost church member. I jumped up from my seat, and boy, I went and I embraced Les. I grabbed him around my neck. He said, Wayne, you remember when you got saved? You can go back to time and say, no, I'm not banking. I need to know that I'm saved. And I got up from that night. You say, what'd you say? I don't remember what I said. But I know whom I believed. I went home that night. Isaac was just a little fella, my oldest. Man, I was crying. I went home that night rejoicing. Man, I finally had a peace down in my soul. I called my daddy that had prayed for me so much. And I said, Daddy, I said, I just got saved. Amen. I mean, we were rejoicing. And Isaac went downstairs and said, Mom and Daddy just got saved. It'll make a difference in your home and your life. I went to my cousins, amen, and I said, I got saved. You got saved? I started telling people I got saved because I knew it. You're here tonight, it's a personal decision. I want to ask you something. Obviously, God's a spirit, capital S. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, lowercase s, and in truth. You know, when I get in a, there was a time that I'd get in meetings like this and the Spirit of God move. Man, I was afraid I'm going to die and go to hell. You know, I mean, I was. But you know what? Ever since I got born again, you know what? When I come into the house of God and the Spirit of God's moving like that, His Spirit, capital S, bears witness with my spirit as I know I'm saved. I rejoice now. Amen. I rejoice in that I know that I'm an heir with God and a joint heir with Christ. So yes, now I can go back to a place. You don't have to know the month. You don't have to know the day. But there ought to be a place that you could go back to that you know that you had faith in the Lord, on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an action. That's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, having faith. I just want us to be together in heaven. I want you to know that you know. My old preacher, you stand, the pastor I was raised under before I come there, Brother Les, he used to stand up there. I've heard Les say it. I remember old Frank, he'd stand up there in tears. He said, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you say. Because when you do, guess what? You can go home and you can pillow that head like a baby, with a peace that passeth all understanding. I don't understand it. But I can tell you tonight that I know, that I know, that I know that I'm not going to hell tonight. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Amen. And I'm as good as there. What about you? That's why I'm earnestly contending for the faith. Because somebody shared the good news with me. And I want you to know you're among friends tonight. And you sitting there tonight, and these things going through your mind. Can I ask you something tonight? Why in the world do you reject the most precious gift that's ever been given? Preacher, I believe Jesus is God's Son. Listen, there's a lot of people that believe in Jesus. The demons know that Jesus is real. They believe in Jesus. They tremble. But there's a difference. Jesus asked His disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some says thou art Elias, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But then he got personal. He said, whom do ye say? Whom does Brother Boone say? Whom does Brother Dwayne say? It doesn't matter who the world says. He don't save us collectively. He saves us individually. Personally, whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? And old Peter, even with his faults, he had the right answer. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the right answer. That's the right answer tonight. Who is he to you? God deal with your heart tonight. I'm asking you to make the best decision you've ever made. As God's dealing with your heart. I mean, there's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And Jesus Christ, my friend, he paid your sin debt. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You've heard it. You've heard it for years. He said, preacher, I'll get saved Sunday. You may not. You don't get saved on your timetable. You get saved on God's timetable. The message that stirs your heart tonight may not stir your heart Sunday, amen, or Wednesday. It's just the way it is. What are you going to do with Jesus? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask your pastor to come at this time. But I do want to ask you a question. Just tried to follow the Lord tonight. I didn't preach all my message there, but I felt led to preach what I preached tonight. And what I'm thankful for is that God knows every heart. The Bible said, and he must needs go through Samaria. Why did he go there? Because he knew that there was that old Samaritan woman there. He knew all about her, just like he knows all about you. And it's no accident that you're here tonight. God is dealing with your heart. You're sitting there and you think about it. You realize, let me say something, friend. We love you. This pastor here loves you. I know he does. But the decision's up to you tonight.
You know, I want to say, like Brother Dwayne said, you know,